All right, tonight, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Hebrews. And we've been in the second chapter, and I've gone into the third chapter. We've been in the third chapter, we've gone into the fourth for a couple of verses. But I want to back up again, because this doctrine, I wrote an article on it a number of years ago called The Doctrine of the Sin. And it's interesting, particularly in the book of Romans, between chapter 5 and verse 12 and chapter 8 and verse 3, Paul used sin in the singular 30 times. And each one of those 30 times in the Greek text is preceded by the definite article. So it's not sin, but it's the sin. So we're talking about a specific sin. And the specific sin, we read about it here in verse 13 of the third chapter of Hebrews, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness, not of sin, but of the sin. A definite article is present there. Now over in the 12th chapter, in verse 1, it says there, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that's all that have gone before that have believed on the Lord, let us lay aside every weight, and what?
The sin
that doth, which doth so easily beset us. Now, if you have a Scofield Bible, your little CSC next to the article there, and if you look in the margins, it says omit the. Now, Scofield obviously didn't see the significance of the definite article. Now, let's read it the way they translated it. Do sins easily beset us? Sins, plural? Sure. You know, each one of us has something that may beset us a little more easily than others. But sin for the natural man is the natural thing to do. And then we get saved. And now that we're saved, if we should say that we have no sin, what does the scripture say to us?
Deceive ourselves.
We're self-deceived. You know, there's no such thing as a sinless individual on this earth. There was one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, who became a man through the virgin birth so that he could live his life as a Jew, live his life under the law, and then fulfill every jot and tittle of the law. He functionally kept every single law. And then he gave himself as a ransom for sin so that he took the place of, for example, the Passover lamb. Christ, our Passover, is what? Sacrifice for us. Now, Easter's coming up. And the Roman Catholic Church, took the pagan holiday Easter, which is at about the same time as Passover, and they, it was so popular amongst the Anglo-Saxons that while they had been baptized into the Roman Church and called themselves Catholic, when it came to this particular feast, of the goddess of spring, then they wouldn't go to church that day. They would go to the pagan feast. So the Pope just adopted the name Easter after Eostra. There's about 15 or 20 different names for the goddess of spring. And it all has to do with what? Fertility. She's the goddess of fertility. Now, if you ever wondered why we color eggs at Easter, it's because of that pagan holiday. Yeah. eggs speak of fertility. And so, you know, there are so many things that have been adopted and adapted into, you know, what's supposed to be the truth that is part of the error. And this emphasis upon sin in the singular and without the definite article, is it true that sins easily beset us? Yes, that's true. But that's not what the writer to the Hebrews is talking about, and that's not what Paul was talking about in the book of Romans. You know, he was talking about the specific sin of Adam. And that's the sin which does so easily beset us. Now think about, and of course I went to three different Bible colleges, and they just load you up with conduct, and the concept that people will look at your life and want to be like you. You talk about so much just plain old horse manure. That's it. You know, you're never going to find anybody in this world that's going to want to be like you because of your wonderful life. You know, it's just absolute nonsense. But that is pounded into the heads of Bible school students. You know, they may come to the Bible school saved and eager to serve the Lord, but they pump them so full of legalistic nonsense, it can have its effect. And then you have to, get away from it and study to show yourself approved unto God, you know, where you get things straight. But the average student, and I would say in the average Bible college, is going to come out legalistic rather than believing in the grace of God. You know, and what's the scripture say? For by grace are you saved, how?
Through faith.
And the faith is not of yourself. You know, I didn't generate faith in Jesus Christ. God gave me the gift of faith, and when I was 21 years old and saved, on that Sunday morning, it was by the quickening power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of God quickened the Word of God to my heart, so I recognized the main thing that was in my mind, I'm such a sinner. Yeah. Now, comparing my life to other people, you'd say back then, well, Dale was a pretty good boy. Yeah. But in my mind, we all know our personal sins and all that type of thing. We don't have to dwell on it because we're all under the blood of Christ, and our relationship with God is not predicated upon our lives, touch not, taste not, handle not. The just are to live how?
By faith.
By faith. And all that touch not, taste not, handle not stuff. The just shall live by faith, and what? The law, all that touch not, taste not, handle not stuff, is not of faith. So, the Bible colleges, and I had experience with three, and I've had experience with different church groups after our church, first church failed. We didn't go anywhere at first, and then we started attending. We attended two or three different churches, and it's the sin which does so easily beset us is taught as Christian living. You can be like God. The Spirit of God indwells me, but if I should say that I have no sin, I'm self-deceived. So I want to tie this together and I'll read a few verses here in this 12th chapter, and then we'll go back to the third, and then I think we'll go to Romans. Wherefore, seeing we also, this is Hebrews 12:1, are compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are the witnesses? People who have trusted the Lord as Savior. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You know, what easily besets us? We think naturally in terms of do good, get good. That lie came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And all that happens in most churches is it gets reinforced. You know, rather than recognize it, no, it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it's according to God's mercy that he saved us. And it's by the foolishness of preaching that God has chosen to save them that believe. Believe what? That I'm a sinner and that Christ died for me. And if I believe on him, I have eternal life and I shall never perish. Well, what about your life? You're dead. And your life, each one of us, your life is hid with Christ in God. God's not looking at what we do. Now, is good conduct better than bad conduct? Certainly. In a civil society, good conduct is certainly better. But conduct doesn't have anything to do with whether you're saved or whether you're lost. Conduct, for the most part, is what the lost world has their hopes in. And that's why we have these comparative religion classes in the universities. And, you know, it's all about, well, everything's about morality. It's just this moral system as opposed to this moral system. And there are thousands of them. So, do we have a relationship with God based upon our conduct? No, absolutely not. Why? Because at the moment that you believe, and we see this. Let's go to 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. I remember I went over to Dr. Jack MacArthur's house one night. His television wasn't working, and I repaired it for him, and we got to talk a little bit, and I'd been studying in this portion of Scripture, and I said that 1 John 1:9, everybody's got it wrong. Yeah. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Well, that's true, but what does it actually say? If in the present tense, we may or may not do it. If in the present tense, we confess that we're sinners, okay? He is faithful and just to forgive all of them, past, present, and future. Yeah. And when did he do that? Well, if in the present tense we do that, in the past tense, when he was crucified, he died for our sins. So we are counted to have died with Christ, to have been buried with Christ, and to have been raised with Christ. And in actuality, God counts us at the present time to be in his presence, even though we're still here on the earth. So all of these churches that are teaching that you maintain your salvation by the life that you live, they don't recognize that God is not looking at your life at all. Good conduct is always better than bad conduct, you know. But God's not looking at your life, because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And their sins and iniquities will I remember when?
No more.
So what's God looking at? The just shall live by faith. And then the scripture says, and the law is what? It's not of faith. So what we do by faith after that we're saved, that will be remembered at the judgment seat of Christ. And there will be rewards for the things that we do by faith. You know, attending church is an act of faith. Giving of your tithes and offering is an act of faith. Witnessing to, you know, you have the opportunity to talk to somebody about their salvation. You know, they may not positively respond, and believe while you're talking to them, but the very fact that you witness the truth, that's another work of faith. And we do many, many things by faith. I preach by faith. I study by faith. And all of those things. I was thinking the other day, because I've talked a lot about how rapidly I grew when I was saved, but I didn't have anybody teaching me. And I thought, that doesn't fit. And then I thought, hey, dummy, God called you into the ministry. He did it before the foundation of the world. So at the moment of time when you came to faith in Christ, he had equipped you with the gifts that you were going to need in the ministry. So I wasn't being taught by anybody but the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And I grew very rapidly. And so when I started Bible college, I had knowledge many times. You know, I don't want you to think of this as boasting in any sense. It's just a fact. So many of my professors, I think they died and went to hell. They were lost. They're just involved in religion. And I'd write a paper and get all kinds of red ink on it, you know, and talk to them about it. And, you know, it didn't add up with the truth of the Word of God. And so I guess I was able to teach myself, really it's the Spirit of God that was doing the teaching. But if you're going to be in the ministry, you have to be able to rightly divide the Word of God. And it doesn't happen all at once. The more you take in, the more you know. And then it's amazing. You can be teaching something for years and years and years, and you're close to the truth, but you're not quite there. And then you look up a word in the Greek or just the meaning of English words, and compare those with the Hebrew or Greek words. And oftentimes the words that the translators use really aren't the best words. So that's why we're told study. And so when we do that, I had been studying this in the Greek. So it says in the Greek, and it's a subjunctive mood. What does that mean? You may or you may not do it. But if in the present tense, you confess your sin. This isn't a daily thing, because up until I discovered this, every time I would pray, Lord, forgive me my sin, forgive me my sin, forgive me my sin. And one day I thought, hey, stupid, your sins are forgiven. But everybody uses this verse of scripture for a continual confession of sin. And this doesn't have anything to do with a continual confession of sin. This is if you confess that you're a sinner at the time of your salvation. I'm a sinner, Christ died for me. So if in the subjunctive mood, I may or may not do it. But if I do it, then when Christ died, I died. And when Christ was buried, I was buried. And when Christ arose from the dead, I arose with him in the judicial reckoning of God. And in the judicial reckoning of God, I'm already present with him in heaven, even though we're still on this earth. So that's what this means. If we confess our sins in the present, he is faithful and just. In the past tense, when Christ died, we died. So that's when our sins are predicated. The forgiveness of sin is predicated on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood is what?
No remission.
So for our sins to be remitted, blood had to be shed. So when was it shed? Well, it was nearly 2,000 years ago now. And it's effective for everyone in the 4,000 years before. It's effective for them as well as for us. They were looking forward to a sacrifice that hadn't been made, which was represented by animal sacrifices. And we look back, and how many sacrifices? One sacrifice for sin for what period of time?
Ever.
Forever. So how about these churches under the canopy of Christianity that deny the security of the believer? They're always predicating the denial on your life. But you're not alive. You're dead. You died with Christ. And your life is His with Christ and God. So, this isn't an excuse to sin. But whatever we do, what we do by faith, we're going to be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. What we do that falls into the category of sin was known to God from before the foundation of the world. And all of those sins were laid on Jesus Christ at the moment of His salvation. And at the moment that we believe, we're counted to have died with Christ, been buried with Christ, been raised with Christ. It's marvelous truth. It's positional truth. We're dealing with an eternal God, and God is eternally what? Omniscient. What's that mean? He knows everything. So all of this time and place type of stuff that enters into people's thinking, no, God knows everything. In the present tense. So he goes on to say then, if to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of the Old Testament saints, they had to wait for Christ to die. But it was effective to them. They went to paradise rather than to heaven because Christ had not yet died. But the moment that Christ died, when he rose from the dead, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So I took those Old Testament saints into heaven, and they were the first fruits unto the Lord. Whether he took them all or just 144,000, we don't know, but we know that he took 144,000 because they're going to come back and witness on the earth during the Great Tribulation period. They can't be put to death by the Antichrist because they've already lived and died. And the resurrection, So we begin to look at things not from man's perspective, but from God's perspective. Now, let's go back to our text in Hebrews. In the 12th chapter, I want to read that one. And notice what it says. Wherefore, seeing, this is chapter 12, verse 1, we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin, the singular sin, which doth so easily beset us. Now, what is the besetting sin? Well, the one that's transferred to us is Adam's, but Eve sinned, Adam sinned because she had sinned so that in his foreknowledge he knew that the second person of the Godhead would come in the fullness of time and die for his sins as well as the sins of the whole world. And it's effective to those who do what? Believe. Now, Christ died for everybody, but it's only effective to those who believe. So, what sin doth so easily beset us? Don't drink. Don't smoke. Don't spit. Don't chew. Don't go out with naughty girls to do. All this kind of stuff. It's a bunch of do's and don'ts. Does anybody keep all their do's and don'ts? No, they've got a whole list, and they do it. And we have so many denominations under the canopy of Christianity that say they got to get saved again. No. Salvation happens once. And for God, it happened before the foundation of the world. Even before he created us, he knew everything because he's an omniscient God. So he knew everyone that he was going to bring to salvation. And there are mitigating circumstances in each person's life. There are some people, like the Jews, said to Jesus, we will not have this man to reign over us. Well, they said back in Egypt, an equal statement of unbelief, all that the Lord has spoken, what?
We will do.
We will do. They couldn't possibly do it. All they had to do was look at their, all the grumbling and griping that they did when God was judging the Egyptians and Pharaoh was increasing the burden upon the Jews. And they said to Moses, you know, we'll use the generic or our manner of speaking. Knock it off. It was much better before you started talking. Yeah. Well, Pharaoh was a servant not of God. Pharaoh was a servant of the anti-God. Yeah. And in Egypt, they had 10 false gods that they worshipped. And the last was the firstborn. Yeah. Or the last of the 10 gods that were judged was the firstborn. And that's Passover. And Christ, our Passover, was what? Sacrifice for us. So the Passover represents our salvation. Yeah. And that's when we were given the Lord's Supper. And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, those unleavened bread. So leaven speaks of sin. Christ is without sin. Yeah. And each of the elements in the bread speaks of some attribute of Christ. But one thing that wasn't in the bread, there was no leaven. And leaven, what is that? It causes things to be puffed up. What's the sin nature do to people? People get all puffed up in their, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like other men, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Okay. Now, let's go back to the third chapter of Hebrews. And let me read, take heed in verse 12 of the third chapter. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, what was the Jewish problem with unbelief? Actually, when they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, that was their unbelief. They couldn't do it. They should have recognized their sin nature. They were a quarrelsome, rowdy people.
Disobedient, insane.
And then they say, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Yeah. That's pretty foolish. And in essence, that's what most of what's called Christianity is saying today. You know, you rarely hear of a blood atonement in the churches today. The great big ones like Osteen's 40,000 in Texas, it's all about your life. You know, and being a good person. Yeah. Well, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We all need a Savior. And there's no salvation in your life. Salvation is in the faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you. So, I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. In verse 11, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. What's he talking about when they said all that the Lord has spoken, we will do? Yeah. Where did that concept come from? It came from the Garden of Eden and Eve's sin, which became Adam's sin. So it says, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of, didn't translate the article. We're talking now about a particular sin, the deceitfulness of the sin. That's Adam's sin. And what is the deceit? You know, disobey God and you can be like God. Now, Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived. So, when we look at the churches then, in the day in which we live. We see them all wrapped up in what? Conduct, conduct, conduct. You know, touch not, taste not, handle not. And our conduct, you know, they say, well, if I believe like you do, I could do anything I want. Well, you can. Doesn't mean that God isn't going to correct you as one of his children, but it's paid for and will never be remembered against you. So in the 5th chapter of Romans, we find out what the sin was. Verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, and the article wasn't translated here, the sin entered into the world, and the death, that's both spiritual and physical, by the sin. Why do we die? Because Adam ate of the tree. Yeah. Death works in all of us. No matter the advancements in medicine, you know, and some people live long, some not so long. My mother lived to be just a few, about 20, 22 days short of her 97th, 98th birthday. And she was 97, if I remember. 96, just short of her 97th birthday. My dad died, when he was 44, actually. 44 and a half years old. His birthday was in July, died in January. So 44 years, then you take mom's 96, add them together, divide by two, what do you get? 70. Yeah. So what's the average age of man? It's 70. That's not that everyone's going to live to be 70. Here I've lived much past that. Yeah. And with my health history all the way back to when I was a little kid, it's absolutely amazing that I've lived this long. And the only reason I can figure out that I've lived this long is I still have a ministry to complete. And when it's complete, the Lord will take me home. Yeah. And so it says, by one man, the sin entered into the world, and death, spiritual and physical, by the sin. And so that type of death, the death, passed upon all men for all not have sinned. It's true, we've all sinned. But this is a singular sin committed by one person, Adam. So the helping verb there, we would say that if we were talking about the congregation at Rome that received this book, we could use a have sin there. But the have is not present in the Greek. All sinned. When did we sin? When Adam sinned. Okay. Nevertheless, death, both spiritual and physical, reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him who is to come. So what? Christ, Adam was a type of Christ. He gave himself for his wife. Christ came, fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, and gave himself for his wife, the bride of Christ. And then we have people that argue about, well, we alone are the bride of Christ. We're a special people. No, every believer is a member of the bride of Christ. Whether you're very active in utilizing your spiritual gifts, or whether you accepted salvation and, like the shallow ground believer, didn't produce much. You know, both are saved. Okay. People don't like that, though. Preachers want to control their congregations. I've never had that inclination. And it's stupid to think that I could, because you're going to do whatever you're going to do anyway. So it really is kind of a ridiculous idea, but they're trying to make you to be something you're not. You know, nobody's going to look at my life and say, I want to be like him. Or nobody's going to look at your life and say, I want to be like him. It just doesn't work it that way. You know, what you see is there's a sinner saved by grace. And I'm a sinner, and the promise is that if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I too will be saved by grace. That's the extent of it, folks. Other than that, okay, now let's go on in to verse 17. For if by one man's offense, who was the one man? What was the one sin? Adam eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That brought death on the whole human family. Why didn't it happen with Eve? Because she's not the federal head. Yeah. It's in Adam that all died. And Eve came from Adam's side, so she's included in his federal headship. So, if by one man's offense, death, it's the death actually, reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of the righteousness shall reign in life by Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. So, it wasn't Eve's sin that plunged us into sin. Adam's the federal head. So when Adam ate in order to make it possible for Eve to be redeemed, we ate. Yeah. Okay? And Adam was not deceived. Okay. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Why do we die? Because of Adam. Say, well, that's not fair. Well, because of the death of Christ, we have eternal life. So if you want one, you got to have the other. You know, people get in their human reasoning about these things, and they make some bloody stupid statements. For as by one man's disobedience, that was Adam, many were made sinners. Well, it really means all were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, you know, many shall be made righteous. Not everybody's going to be saved. And those that believe will be saved. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. When God gave the law to the nation of Israel, God is an omniscient God. He knew they would say, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, even though anything in their history up to that point in time would have said, there's no way that you can do it. But man and his concepts of self-righteousness said, okay, lay it on, Lord, I can do it. And we have churches that think that way. And it's self-deception. Just be honest with yourself and recognize, can you control your dreams? Where do some of those thoughts that come in some of those really seedy dreams come from? Your sin nature. See? And why do you have it? Because you have a sin nature. God didn't take away the sin nature just because he saved you. He will take it away. That's going to be when we see him, we shall be like him. But we're not exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ at the present time. We have to be raised, glorified, and adopted. For as by one man's disobedience, that was Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Where there's no law, there's no transgression. So God knew that the Jews would say, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. They couldn't do it, but they thought they could. And Moses wasn't gone very long. And they're saying to, Aaron, help, make us a god. So by the time that He had done all of that. They were having a wing-ding of an orgy in the camp. Everything that was written in the law that hadn't come down from the mount yet was already broken. So what did Moses do with the tablets? He dashed them to the ground. You know, there are people out there that teach that he glued them back together. Now, read the scriptures. God asked him back up to the mountain and gave him a second set of tablets of stone. And those were the ones that were put in the Ark of the Covenant. But everything on the first set was broken. They were broken. And that is very significant. You know, everything that was written on it is broken. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where the sin abounded, the grace of God, definite article before grace, did much more abound. So, I'm a rotten sinner. You're a rotten sinner. That's who we are. But God, in his infinite mercy and grace, saw that the word of God was preached to us and gave us the faith to believe it. And because we believed it, it was a gift from God. The faith to believe it was a gift from God. So we can't even boast about that. You know? And now we have eternal life, and we shall never perish. That as the sin hath reigned unto the death, both physical and spiritual, even so might the grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in the sin? Now, I'd like to ask that question of 99.44% of the preachers in the world. They're all preaching the lie of the devil. Human conduct is what makes you right with God. Human conduct. Yeah. And I don't even know that they even preach the gospel anymore. Some might. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in the sin, in the concept that we can be like God through the lie of the devil? That the grace may abound. What's the answer? God forbid, or may it never be. How shall we, that, you know, the translators again are getting down to personal sin. And this isn't about personal sin. This is about the singular sin of Adam. And so it says in the Greek, God forbid, how shall we that died to the sin live any longer therein? When did we die? When Christ was crucified. God counts us to have been crucified with him. Okay? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into the death of him? Okay? So, what does that mean? When Christ died, we're counted to have died with him. And his righteousness is counted to be our righteousness. We don't actually possess perfect righteousness in the sense of being able to live without sin, because the scripture says of us, if we should say that we have no sin, what?
We deceive ourselves
and the truth's not in us. Now that's just who we are. And that's why, you know, we talk about the grace of God. Grace is unmerited favor. There are none of us who are saved who deserve to be saved. You know, but God in his infinite love and mercy saved us before the foundation of the world, brought it about at a point in time. And at that point in time, for you or me, I was 21, you know, before I was ever born, God had elected me to salvation, but it took 21 years before I knew anything about it. So we see things from God's perspective, and we see things from man's perspective. So he says, therefore, we were, not are. Hey, the translators have trying to get this personal sin, saying mass, doing all that kind of stuff. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism. What's that? Spirit baptism. The Spirit of God counted us to have died with Christ, to have been buried with Christ, and to have been raised with Christ. It has nothing to do with baptism and water. I can prove that. God is not a respecter of persons. And what did Jesus say to the thief on the cross? He's pinioned to a cross. He's going to die there. He's not going to be baptized with water or in water. You know, it's in water. You know, it's immersion. It's portrayal of burial. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism, that spirit baptism, into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What's the newness of life? The just shall live how?
By faith.
And the lost what? Is not of faith. You know? So, by faith, all my sins are forgiven. You know? Do I still sin? Yes. You know? But God doesn't remember them against me because he counted them all under the blood of Christ. God's an omniscient God, so he could do that. So, we're going to spend a little bit of time with the doctrine of these sins before we move too far forward in Hebrews, and that will make the whole book of Hebrews much easier to understand. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for these judicial truths, that when Christ died, we're counted to have died with him. When Christ was buried, we're counted to have buried with him. When Adam sinned, we're counted to have sinned with him. So that it's the blood of Jesus Christ then that cleanses us from all sin. And personal sin is not an issue. All sin is under the blood, forgiven and forgotten, never to be remembered against us anymore. And we praise you and thank you for such a marvelous gift. And we pray that it would encourage us to faithfulness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.